Representative Blair and Representative Navarre. We'll stand in brief recess pending a quorum. For the committee to move the bill out of committee, House Bill 222.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Blair.
I would move to table consideration of HB 222 at this time.
Is there objection?
Check.
There is objection?
Object. Object.
Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, what is the reason for tabling?
The reason for tabling it is so we can begin with committee action today. It would be my intention to take action today on that motion if it is the pleasure of the committee. Is there objection to tabling?
Object. To take action on what motion?
On your motion. That's pending before the committee now. We're going to table it and get the committee action. And then we'll take it up later.
Mr. Speaker, what's the time later?
Time later today.
What time later today?
After we finish with our committee work.
Before we adjourn the meeting?
Before we adjourn the meeting.
We have a brief at ease, Mr. Speaker? Chairman? Whatever it is.
Will we have
a brief at ease?
We will have a very brief at ease. Representative Jackal.
Mr. Chairman,
just withdraw your motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would withdraw my motion to table.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Secretary will please call the roll.
Representative, would you restate the motion?
Motion is to move House Bill 222 out of committee with individual recommendations with the accompanying. There is. Secretary will call the roll.
Maybe better restate it for Representative Larson.
Motion is to move House Bill 222 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown.
I was not present at the last meeting, and I'd like to know whether there were any amendments made to that bill.
There were no amendments made to the bill. Is that right? No amendments. Very little discussion on the bill, and appropriate that we might have a little bit more discussion on it.
Yeah.
Representative Boyer.
Mr. Chairman, I would just suggest that we didn't have at all the discussion of the funding source issue, and if there's interest in moving the bill out of committee at this time, I would suggest that we at least have that broad discussion of the funding source issue. And remember, the funding source for the members of the committee is the Science and Technology Fund. And if I felt that there were the votes to move the bill out of committee, I would ask for an amendment to change the funding source from the Science and Technology to the General Fund.
And Mr. Chairman, I had an amendment I wanted to have the committee discuss on that bill.
Yes, Representative Brown, there's a lot of people who wanted to participate in the discussion and offer amendments to the bill. Representative Jacko would not remove his motion. The motion is before us. Secretary will please call the roll. It would be the chair's intention to continue discussion on this bill in committee.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Boyer.
I would, before we have the motion to move the bill, the motion is pending.
Motion is pending.
Is an amendment in order?
An amendment is in order.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we change the funding source, the proposed funding source, from the Science and Technology Fund to the General Fund.
Object.
There is a motion to move the bill out of committee. Unless that motion is withdrawn, a motion to amend the bill would be out of order. Representative Boyer. Secretary, would please call the roll on the motion.
Representative Larson?
Yes.
Representative Phillips?
Yes.
Representative Sharp?
Yes.
Representative Ballmer?
No.
Representative Boyer?
No.
Representative Barnes?
Yes.
Representative Brown?
No.
Representative Jacko?
Yes.
Representative Kopanen?
No.
Representative McLean?
Yes.
Representative Navarre?
No.
Six yeses, five noes.
Okay, now there'll be a move that that bill will be transmitted.
Mr. Chairman, I give notice of reconsideration on my vote on that particular motion and move that reconsideration be taken up Wednesday.
Is there objection? Not objection, so moved.
Wait a minute.
Next bill we'll take up is House Bill 46.
Wait a minute, Mr. Chairman, I don't believe there's a reconsideration you can do in committee. You can on the floor, but I don't think you can in the committee.
There is
my sneaking suspicion that we'll have the bill still in the committee's possession on Wednesday for consideration of that motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Chairman, the motion to reconsider a bill in committee is not appropriate. I will get up and go get Mason's manual if you'd like. However, I believe it's in the prerogative of the chair to pull the bill and simply not transmit it till Wednesday. The motion to reconsider until time certain is not.
That is the prerogative of the chair, Representative Barnes. My intention that the bill will be before us for consideration on Wednesday. Next bill we'll take up will be House Bill 46. Representative Moyer is the prime sponsor. Representative Moyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I presume we're not on teleconference.
We are not on teleconference.
I appreciate the opportunity to come back and speak to you again about House Bill 46. I would ask, Mr. Chairman, due to some time constraints, that two witnesses be able to testify before we get too far along. I realize there will be questions on the CS before us, and in fact, I have an amendment which I'd like to hand out just for consideration at this time. I'm not moving the amendment at this time, because I know that the members from the launch industry would like to discuss it. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I wonder if we could bring to the table Mr. Cern and Mr. Diamandis. Mr. Cern would be able to answer general or make a general statement about the space industry, and Mr. Diamandis would be available for more detailed questions, if I may.
All right. Please have them come forward.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, if you would give your names and your affiliation for the record, please.
My name is Gene Cernan. I'm on the board of directors of Microsat Corporation, and I guess for the record, I ought to identify the fact that I am a former astronaut and had served with the NASA space program for some 13 years.
For the record, my name is Peter Diamandis. I'm the President and Chief Executive Officer of Microsat Launch Systems.
Go ahead.
Chairman, members of the committee, here to provide testify in support of House Bill 46 for the creation of a spaceport authority. Microsat Launch Systems is a corporation currently building a micro-class launch vehicle. Similar in size, but a little more capable than the Sounding rockets, which have been launching out of Poker Flat for some 20 years. Microsat as a corporation is looking towards establishing commercial activities. Those commercial activities utilizing the Poker Flat facility for launching communication satellites, Earth environmental satellites, scientific research satellites. We are in partnership with three major corporations for the construction of the vehicle. As a company, we see the establishment of the bill as an important prerequisite to us setting up our base of operations up here, in that it establishes a single point of focus for operations, both legally, regulatory, economically. We have reviewed the bill as a company and are supportive of it. Our general counsel of the company is familiar with the bill, in that Bruce Krasowski, general counsel, also was in part the author of the Florida spaceport legislation, which has established a growing industry base down near Cape Canaveral. As such, he has reviewed and again sees it as a bill which will support the needs of commercial industry. I will state that, for the record, Microsat Launch Systems is also very interested in the working relationship this bill sets up with the university. We seek a close and very cooperative relationship with the university in doing joint research and in not having any type of a competitive relationship, simply a very collaborative relationship whereby the commercial activities go hand in hand with the ongoing research work up there, and we think the bill will accomplish that. Finally, let me state, as per the amendment handed out before you, in the establishment of a board of directors of this facility, we seek that there be a position on this board of directors which would allow for the user community to have a seat there. This is similar to what you currently have in the Fishing and Games authorities, where the user community has a position there. Establishing a spaceport for commercial activities is very different from research activities. What that board of directors does will make or break the commercial viability of a program, iPoker Flat. For that reason, we seek that there be a representative of a launch corporation, in particular a company that is working at a Poker Flat. As you all may know, there are many launch companies out there which operate the Titan or the Atlas or the Delta launch vehicle. This is far different from the type of operations you'll be having at Poker Flat. Far different. Those are $100 million rockets operating out of billion-dollar spaceports. Here we're talking about $2 to $5 million rockets operating out of a more modest. So the user community, I think, will be an important part of making Poker Flat competitive, keeping it a commercially viable program, which I think is one of the objectives of the bill. Members of the committee, thank you very much.
Are there questions of Mr. Diamandis? Representative Ulmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I would just ask you to gaze into your crystal ball for a moment and tell me whether you think it's realistic to assume that the user community will be able to provide the long-term operating costs of this operation, or whether you expect that on an ongoing basis it would be necessary for the state to subsidize it.
Going into the crystal ball, I can only look to other spaceports where the spaceports have had a regular income from launch operations. They have different from... The answer is, first of all, yes. I believe that we can, both Sounding Rockets and Orbital, continue to support the ongoing operations, cost of operations of the spaceport. I think you will see, besides my company's interests here, I think once this is operating, you will see other companies interested, not only for launch activities, and Representative, we have to look at the bigger picture. There's launch operations, yes. There will also be payload processing. There will be other commercial for downlinking information. Probably one of the largest sources of income I see once a commercial operation is set up here is going to be even in the environmental research world. NASA has set forth a $30 billion budget for environmental research over the next 10 years. So I think there will be, in fact, an opportunity not only to maintain, but also to have an ability to have income allow the natural growth of the facility.
Thank you.
Does it make sense, gentlemen, to have that representative of the launch corporation, satellite launch corporations, as a non-voting member, in as much as I would expect that, as you've just said, that with the advent of the passage of this legislation, that we may have additional competing satellite launch corporations wanting to do business, or in fact doing business in the state, and rather than locking Microsat in at this particular time, might want to leave that open either through a non-voting status or a shorter term of...
I appreciate that. Let me respond to that. Unless
go ahead.
I feel that it must be fair. We have to set up a reasonable situation with knowledge that there will be other corporations in there. I simply want to make sure that we don't have a player who does not know the environment of Alaska, doesn't know the environment of Poker Flat, having a say. I think it needs to be the user community at the facility. If that is a non-voting, as long as there's a voice that is strictly being heard and being heard on a regular basis, that's most important for me. I think the preference would be so that it is not a diminished position, that it be voting. I think that is the structure of the other committees, Fishing and Games Committee, which we looked at. Let me leave it at that.
I might add that, first of all, I think probably it's significantly important that that membership be considered of a directorship or a position on the board of part of the commercial side of this venture that truly does have an interest and a knowledge and a desire to do business here in Alaska. The voting or non-voting thing, maybe if you're concerned about ethics, maybe there could be a situation where that is controlled in some capacity or another. However, I do agree the tendency to have the responsibility of a vote intends to enforce the requirements and the responsibility itself you do have on that board. Otherwise, you're acting in an advisory capacity, and perhaps a lot of people could do that. But in any event, I feel very strongly that you certainly should consider somebody who has a strong interest in the future of Poker Flat, of the association with the university. I think these things are very, very important. And the economic potential, the commercial economic potential of Poker Flat and as it applies to the state. If I may, I'd just like to say just an additional word generally, not so much about the bill, because I'm not sure I'm qualified to comment in detail on its contents other than what you've heard thus far. But I guess because of the nature of my experience, I've stayed involved in space over the last 20 years, and it's been 20 years since I made that last space flight, and yet I find myself continually involved because I believe very, very strongly. A lot of that involvement has ended up to be nothing but frustration because of the progress we've made or haven't made from a national point of view as well as a commercial point of view. About 15 years ago, some of you may or may not remember, commercial space, the commerciality of space, was something that everyone was going to invest in, and everyone was going to make $1 million, and there was all kinds of hype. We're going to have microgravity research. We're going to do all kinds of things in space. I happen to be a supporter of that, but it was a lot of entrepreneurs with a lot of good ideas that were not very strongly supported by our national office, by NASA in particular. There was a lot of lip service paid, but even if NASA had at that time supported commercial space very strongly, I think it would have been very difficult for commerciality of space to proceed because of the significant investment and that significant risk that was involved on a private sector side. Today, I really believe that's different. I believe you're going to see the development of commercial space on a smaller scale, not the grandiose scale that people anticipated it to be at one time in the past, but nonetheless built on a strong, strong foundation of the private sector getting involved in space. This, quite frankly, as a result of the Challenger accident, was a decree by the president. There is a commercial space policy now that has come out for the first time out of the National Space Council, chaired by the vice president. The administration is serious. NASA has been directed effectively to support the development of commercial space, selectively on a basis of those things that they see as have a potential. Microtechnology has allowed a company like Microsat to come into being to look at the potential of taking advantage of miniaturization and satellites and electronics and new materials, and the need for and the opportunity for more people to get involved in space. What I'm really trying to say is it's going to happen, and the reason it's going to happen is the cost of getting into space has now come within reach of private institutions, private corporations, cities, states, governments, universities. And it's not no longer $100 or $200 million risk that someone has to take. And in the past, it's been none other than a consortium of corporations or a federal government that's been able to take that kind of risk. Today and in the future, as we turn a corner into the next century, I think you're going to see a great many additional entities get involved in space, quite frankly, because of the lesser risk involved, the higher technology, and most important, economics involved. Commercial space is now truly, I think, going to make some inroads where it hasn't had an opportunity to do so in the past. Here in Alaska, I believe that you have an outstanding opportunity to promote that effort. You have a geographic location, which is significant, that most other places in the world don't have. You've got an infrastructure we were discussing this morning, the Soviet infrastructure, if you will, versus the U.S. infrastructure. We have an infrastructure in this country, in this state, that can support the kind of things that can be done at Poker Flat. Space has got tremendous educational influence with kids from 6 years old to 26 years old, whether they're studying to be engineers and scientists or whether they just need a motivational kick in the tail to get involved, to want to learn. And I've seen this firsthand. I've been involved with that kind of thing for some time. So I guess what I'm saying in general, without taking any more of your time, that the opportunity that Alaska has to get involved at this point in time in something that I think is realistically exciting and can provide realistic returns is very unique. There's not a lot of other places in the country that have this opportunity. Most of the other launch sites, the Cape Canaverals, the Wallops Islands, some of the others, with few exceptions, are just come back around again for a second try. But Poker Flat is a baby, I guess, is one way to look at it. It's ready to grow. It's ready to move. And resources are an important part of your state's assets. And all the water and oil and minerals are important. Don't overlook space, because I think it's a great asset that you have to explore and exploit for both your own economic well-being and for our national interest.
Are there additional questions? Further questions? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Moyer.
6 months a year. Going to be year-round launching.
Chair would entertain a motion to adopt for the purposes of discussion the proposed CS. The CS is properly before us. Representative Moyer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are discussing the April 27 CS, I presume, which attempted to answer some of the concerns previously raised the last meeting. The most significant being on page 3, line 23, regarding sovereign immunity. After discussions with the Commerce Department and the University, it was determined that we would propose to eliminate that from the current draft before you. Likewise, on page 9.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Barnes.
Until I have found that particular work draft, could you hold up just a second?
Should have a memo in your file dated April 29th.
Did you say deleting?
Yes. And, Mr. Chairman, today the bill drafter is with us, and he is here to answer the questions on these changes.
Representative Barnes, did you have a question?
I just wanted to find if he would start over before he's making the changes, because I did have considerable problems with three sections of that bill, immunity, bonding, and...
Yes, Representative Barnes, page 3, line 13. No, I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong place in my notes. Page 3, line 23.
What don't we find there, Representative?
Okay, my apologies. I'm referring to the previous section. That's where the sovereign immunity section was, and you'll now see in the current draft it's no longer there. Do you all have a copy of the previous draft?
No, but that's fine. I can follow you.
Okay.
Representative Brown.
Well, what about the language on page 5 at line 17 to 24 in the work draft?
Yes, that was one of the other three concerns raised by Representative Barnes regarding eminent domain. And at this time, we had left it in, and I'm certainly open to discussion on that. And I would like to have the Commerce Department speak to that as well, if I may. Did the that other amendment still here? They forwarded. Get in here. Okay, I think they'd like to speak to that.
Mr. Chairman, can I refocus on, we've got the eminent domain, sovereign immunity, and what was
bonding.
And the bonding issue. Okay. So maybe we ought to just speak to it one by one so we can have a clear focus. Those are the three main concerns, at least with some of the members of the committee.
Are there further questions on the issue of sovereign immunity?
I'll wait for the response of the gentleman at the table before I comment further.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Larry Galloway, Assistant Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development. We have agreed in part with Representative Moyer that we have no difficulty in eliminating the words eminent domain under this act.
Yes, Mr. Galloway, do you have any particular comments to the issue of sovereign immunity first? We'll move one at a time through these things.
The administration simply wants... as I understand it, sir, for this legislation to pass, and the amendments that were furnished to you today were amendments that we had no difficulty with, and I had felt that the three objections, Representative Barnes, that you had last time had been removed, but I do see that they're still in this draft.
Yes, Representative Phillips.
Well, eminent domain. Can we deal with
yes.
that?
Yes, okay.
First of all. Okay, on page 5, lines 21, says here, options for the purchase of at least 50% of properties included in the site. Now, is that the actual physical site, or is that the flight path of the rocket? I mean, that needs to be clarified.
Mr. Chairman, that would be referring to the physical location. Okay. Not, there's no need to acquire any land at which over which it would overfly.
Okay, so that there was a question on that. So it's just for the site. How big is the site?
The site is approximately 5,000 acres.
No, I was going to say 6,000.
5,200, something like that.
Other questions on the issue of eminent domain?
Mr. Chairman, I feel real strongly. There's two sections of the bill that need to be removed. One on eminent domain, the one on sovereign immunity, and we should discuss the one on bonding. The two that I truly believe must go out of the bill, in my opinion, are those two. I think those are very far-reaching powers. They're powers that should not be given lightly nor taken lightly. I don't believe that they need to be in this bill.
Representative Barnes, we've adopted the proposed CS that does, in fact, remove the sovereign immunity question. Representative Moyer, on the issue of eminent domain.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I wonder if we could call on the bill drafter this time.
Yes. You would identify yourself for the record, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Jerry Luckup of Legal Services, one of your bill drafters and the drafter of this bill. If I could start, I can start off with the sovereign immunity provisions. Just a little quick little thing about that. The sovereign immunity provisions were not anything special as they were put into this bill. It merely restated current state of the law in Alaska, in that the state of Alaska has immunity from suit except as it's waived by the state of Alaska in Title IX of the statutes. That applies to the agencies of the state and the University of Wyoming, or the University of Alaska, which is a public corporation of the state also. So what we're merely doing is restating the law as it currently exists. We removed those provisions because we believe that this corporation would still have the sovereign immunity of the state, just as other public corporations do and just as other agencies of the state do. The one thing the sovereign immunity provisions did do is would allow more people to sue this public corporation than can normally sue the state. The sovereign immunity provisions as drafted provided that the corporation shall obtain insurance, and to the extent they were able to obtain insurance for those activities, including activities in excess of what they could be sued for as an entity of the state of Alaska, that sovereign immunity of the state would be waived to the extent of that insurance. So it was intended to expand the potential remedies to someone who might be injured by the activities of the corporation. But we took those provisions out, moving to the eminent domain provisions. This provision is virtually identical to a provision that currently exists in regards to the Alaska State Housing Authority in AS 1855. The idea behind it is that if there is a facility that in purposes of the Alaska State Housing Authority, a site that is particularly needed, if the corporation in that case was able to obtain 50% of the properties, and there was an individual or someone who was holding up the purchase of those other properties, that the project could still go forward. In that case, a housing project. In this case, this provision was inserted basically that a lot of this act was modeled after the ASHA provisions because it's a fairly broad-ranging corporation of the state, and it's also modeled after the Florida Spaceport Act, which provided eminent domain provisions. And the reason being is that in some case there may be a specific need for a specific facility somewhere in the state to conduct the operations of this corporation, whether it means some sort of ground tracking unit or something, but there may be some specific site that might be necessary. The aim is for the corporation to purchase those activities, or purchase that location, that site, and purchase all the properties in that site. If it was unable to do that, if the corporation was able to purchase at least 50% of the properties in that site, they would then be able to exercise the eminent domain powers. And that is a power that's similar to the one that ASHA has. An example of another public corporation with eminent domain powers is the railroad. The railroad has eminent domain powers that can be exercised at any time for any property, regardless of whether they've acquired 50% of the properties or not, with the permission of the governor. And so that's an example of another.
Senator Fisher?
Before we take questions, let me just announce that HB 160 or SB 163 and HB 152 and 153 and also HB 196, none of those bills will be coming up. 196 was scheduled pending referral, and that referral has not occurred. And the other bills are still in subcommittee, and the subcommittee has not finished its work yet. So people are here to hear those bills. Those four bills will not be up before the committee today. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the discussion of the bill drafter relates to us that there are other state corporations that have eminent domain with under the title of law. Let me say that in each one of those instances, let's take the railroad. The railroad has a great deal of property of its own. It has a rolling stock. It has many assets. And is not likely, unless it is in an expansion mode, to need to use the right of eminent domain. AHFC and ASHA are two very localized type housing authorities and have assets of their own. You're talking about a new corporation that has no, quote, assets of its own going in and a great deal of land that it might use those condemnation proceedings on. I believe there is a tremendous difference between those three agencies cited and what is proposed in this bill. And therefore, I am opposed to this particular provision in this bill.
Representative Brown.
Thank you. I agree with the comments generally of the prior speaker, and I was wondering, does this eminent domain appear anywhere other than on page 5 at lines 17 through 24?
Is the power of eminent domain granted in any other place?
Yes, in this bill. Is that the only reference to it in this bill?
That is the only reference to it, I believe.
Would a motion be in order to delete that?
It's the will of the committee with regard to that section on page 5.
Well, I think you don't need to delete the whole section, but rather on line 17, begin by deleting by eminent domain under the citation or otherwise. So it would say in its own name, acquire property, lease, rent, conveyor, acquire real and personal property, and then delete everything down to line 24.
Second that.
I'd make that as a motion.
Mr. Chairman? Yes, Representative Larson.
Just a general question. If the corporation is an entity of the state, would not it have that power of eminent domain, whether it's in the bill or not?
No.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, that's an interesting question that we are not entirely, I am not entirely sure of the answer to that. When I spoke to a member of the AG's office, he was not entirely sure if that would apply. The state has the power of eminent domain. The state, whether all the agencies of the state have that power, all the agencies of the state have the sovereign immunity of the state. It's an open question as to whether or not this public corporation would have that authority. There is a possibility that it may have that authority without this provision.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would assume that if public utility, like electric utilities and so forth, have that power, that as an entity of the state, I'm just not sure. I think they already have it.
Representative Brown. I mean,
Barnes.
Same color hair.
It's Brown.
I would say that I disagree with the bill drafter if he says that that's a fact, because while the state in itself may have eminent domain, these public corporations are not agencies of the state per se. They're public corporations of the state. They're a little different than the agencies of the government of the state. If I'm not incorrect, would you not say that's true?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Barnes, that's one of the things that makes public corporations so difficult to figure out what they really are. They are considered agencies of the state for this purpose. They are not considered for this purpose, to actually define where to draw that line. Public corporations in the state of Alaska are, for more purposes, I believe, agencies of the state, and they are something different. And so I could not actually rule out that they would not have the power of eminent domain. It remains a possibility as to whether or not they would.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Barnes, go
ahead. I do not believe that these public corporations that we believe life, that we breathe life into by breathing assets into them, gives them all the powers of the state. I don't in any way believe that, because we're very careful to set out what powers we wish them to have in statutes. And it says we carefully set those powers out in statutes, we limit them or broaden them as we choose. So you can't just blanket say that, you know, they have the powers of the state, because I don't believe they do.
Representative Brown.
Well, in light of this discussion, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to amend my motion, if I could, to put a comma after real and personal property, comma, except that property may not be acquired by eminent domain, semicolon.
Does everyone know the, or does everyone understand the amended motion?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Larson.
If we are creating this corporation, and by we, I mean the state, to provide a public purpose, I guess I disagree with my friend. I believe that corporation, as the state does, will have the power of eminent domain. But I guess my big question is, if we were to pass this act without that provision, would this act be able to be put into effect if there was one property owner within the proposed site that objected? I mean, without that provision, do we have anything before us?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, I'm not real sure if the corporation would necessarily have any plans to be acquiring any property. They would not be acquiring the Poker Flat Research Range by eminent domain. That's specifically set forth in the bill. It's in there as a possibility based upon the conceivability that there could be property that they may need to acquire, and that one individual choosing not to sell, even though they had acquired 50% of the property, would be able to hold up the purchase of that property. It was felt that that would not be a just resolution or a proper resolution after creating this corporation and telling it to go do business, and then it not being able to conduct its business properly based upon not being able to acquire all the property it might need, and based upon the experiences in other states. And the Representative Brown's motion would clearly prevent this corporation, if it has any authority to, as a creature of the state, to exercise eminent domain powers, exercising eminent domain powers. So if that is the concern of the committee, that would solve the problem.
Further questions on the motion?
But just a comment, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm not one that's afraid of the eminent domain power, because it was even put in the federal constitution as a necessary tool of government in order to carry forth public purposes. And there are very, very strict guidelines under which it can be used. And it's to protect the public, basically. If a piece of property is needed to be secured for a public purpose, that it can be secured at a fair market value. And it doesn't allow one person to hold up an entire project to extract what really would be an exorbitant amount of money at the expense of the public. So I'm a no vote on the proposed amendment.
Representative Brown and Representative Moyer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In anticipation of this discussion, I did ask the University of Alaska if the elimination of the eminent domain would paralyze the efforts of the corporation, and the answer from Brian Rogers was no. They felt confident under purchase, lease, rent, or trade that they'd still be able to accomplish its mission.
Is there objection, continued objection to the motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to object for just one last statement.
Representative Larson.
They want the bill bad enough to give up the efficiency of being able to carry it out. I guess that's up to them. I remove my objection.
Any other further objection to the motion? Is it everyone understands the motion? Without objection, the motion is adopted. Please continue.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we could refer to page 10, line 8. In that section, Representative Barnes, and Jerry can speak to this as well, I believe there's language in there that would answer your concerns. I spoke to you earlier about the section I wanted to point out to you. If you have a chance to look at that.
Mr. Chairman, would you just kindly walk us through it so that we can all understand the benefit of your thinking?